Hey everyone, it's Deb, and you're listening to my podcast, Debbie Does Dating. This week's episode is how to deal with overwhelm.
Debbie Does Dating with your host, Deb McEwen. Sponsored by Dating by Deb.
But before we get into overwhelm, it's the awkward dating moment. This happened to me when I was about 16. I was a super shy girl, 6 feet tall and literally as skinny as a rail. I saw a picture of myself in high school by a swimming pool and I was standing next to the railing and my leg was literally the size of the railing. In fact, there was a boy in high school that just was staring at my legs and finally he's like, "How do you stand on those?" Which was so rude. Anyway, I didn't date much because I was so tall and skinny and shy. It made me super self-conscious. Anyway, there was a girls' choice dance, and so I asked, of course, the only guy in school who was taller than me. And we had dinner, went to the dance, and then went to someone's house after to play games. And we were playing Pictionary, where you draw the word and your partner has to guess it within a certain amount of time. Well, the word on the card I picked was lung. Now, I don't know if it was because of all the excitement, all the pressure, because there were other couples there and we're all playing against each other. I don't know. Maybe it was all the attention. I was not used to attention and I didn't like it. But for some reason, when I read lung, I thought of a lunger, which I don't know if anybody else called it that, but my brothers called it that. It was like a loogie, you know, spit and snot mixed. Gross. I know, which makes it even more embarrassing. So anyway, I started drawing someone spitting with an arrow up the nose. But before I could really get into it, the timer went off. And then I realized what I was supposed to be drawing, and I was completely horrified. I was hoping that the game would move on, and because I got embarrassed so easily. But luckily, I wasn't too great at drawing stick figures at the time, so when he asked me what it was, I just said, "A lung." Duh. Just kidding, I didn't say that. I was just like, it was a lung. But then I moved on. Ugh. I relived that embarrassing moment a million times more in my head over that next year, but I blame my brothers. Overwhelm is a feeling that seems to go hand in hand with being a single parent, which makes sense. We're usually trying to do the job of both parents, and that's too much for anyone to bear. I was recently asked by a couple of people how to do it. How to keep up with the busyness of multiple children and a myriad of activities along with homework, teaching responsibilities at home, making sure that they are kind to their siblings, and being respectful to you as their parent. Just to name a few. I don't have all the answers, but I told them, honestly, I did a ton of praying, and I still do. Each situation is different. Not everyone can have a good relationship with their ex. Ex-husbands and wives don't always agree on how to raise the kids. Some situations don't include child support, where there should be, which causes more strain and stress on a single parent. Those are just a few scenarios that may exist. The only thing you can control in these situations, or any situation for that matter, is how you think about it. I found a few articles about overwhelm and single parenting. The points they make are very real and hit home to a lot of us. If you have any to add, please feel free to add them in the comments. Here's one that we actually all can relate to at one time or another, but the single parent feels it pretty much 24/7. Feeling stretched too thin. I remember feeling like this, like there wasn't enough of me to go around. I was a stay-at-home mom for 18 years, and after my divorce, I had to go to work outside the home in order to make ends meet, along with the child support we were getting. I only increased the amount of stress and overwhelm by expecting myself to be the kind of mom I used to be. You know, the kind that was there whenever the kids needed them, the kind who cooked food and baked goodies all the time, the kind who wasn't hiding tears or having to pretend everything was going to be okay, even though she didn't believe it herself. You know, that mom. But I couldn't be that mom anymore. It was physically impossible. I was so hard on myself. I remember standing in the kitchen one day, just getting mad at myself for not being able to keep everything together. Right then, I pictured my grandma Dodie, who had passed away several years before, and I pictured her putting her arm around my shoulders and looking at me like she was so amazed at my strength. And she had had some experiences, like hard experiences in her life, and that just made me stop and say, yeah, I'm going through a lot right now. I stepped back and looked at myself and realized I am holding it together. Yes, I asked myself, are you doing the best you can? Yes, I am. Then that's all you can do. And really, it's all that's required. If you can notice the signs of overwhelm, like being irritable, resentful, losing your cool at the drop of a hat, you may be able to look at the underlying reasons. Even if it feels impossible, allowing yourself time alone to relax will make you better able to manage your stress and energy levels. Don't be afraid to reach out for help. God has given us earthly angels. Reach out to these people who love you. I had 4 amazing friends in the town I lived in when I got divorced. I had to get a job and go to work almost full time. My friends stepped in and took turns watching my little kids for me while I was gone. I had never done this before and it was hard for me, but I will forever be grateful for those ladies who lifted the burden of me having to leave my kids to go to work. You can't be everywhere, everyone, and everything, even if you want to. Try to set some time aside for yourself each week. I liked to take hot baths with lavender to help me relax, and it helped me to recenter as well. Unless your kids are yelling at you from outside the door, sticking their little fingers under the door, maybe a bath isn't feasible for you at the time. But even spending 10 minutes after you put the kids to bed or before they wake up in the morning will help. Financially supporting the family. Some struggle with this more than others. And if you have a responsible former spouse who continues their part in responsibility of providing for their children, that's significantly better than someone who doesn't. But even then, you're likely operating with a smaller household income and budget than 2-parent families, and the responsibility for financial decisions is all on you, which can be a severe mental burden. With all the expenses it takes to run a household, staying on top of your funds may seem impossible, but taking steps to understand and organize your finances can reduce the stress you're experiencing. Prioritize becoming financially aware and create a budget. And you can find a lot of educational resources online. There's apps and programs and things like that. Seek out assistance. Seek out assistance programs through places of worship, community centers, schools, or the government. Single parents, more so than partnered parents, have only to rely on community support. I hate to admit this, and let me preface this by saying the job I ended up getting was at the grocery store. But I would judge those people who came through my line buying all kinds of yummy foods with food stamps. Steaks, cereal, sugared cereal, cookies, shrimp, and all kinds of stuff that I could never afford even when I was married. And now we were eating hot dogs and ramen noodles and pancakes. I had to swallow my pride and apply for food stamps. And I promised the lady on the phone that I would be off of them in 3 months. And I stuck to it, but it was a lifesaver for sure for us at the time. Our church also helps those in need who try their best but just can't make ends meet. My friend who was in charge of the program filled out a food order for me. And in return, my kids and I stayed after church every week for a couple months to clean up the chapel. And I was grateful for the help at the time, and we were more than willing to work for it. You can also get your kids involved in budgeting. Depending on their age, they could help plan the grocery list and help with shopping. And that way they can learn how much things cost and maybe not throw so many things in the cart without you knowing. What, your kids didn't do that? There's no shame in asking for help. Doing everything alone isn't worth the level of stress it can create. And the less stress you're under, the better parent you can be for your kids. Also, look at it this way. Have you ever helped anyone in need? And how does it make you feel? Like $1 million. So I had to look at my situation and my independent attitude and realized that I was keeping other people from feeling that, from experiencing that helping someone in need. And it's tough to let people help you sometimes, but it's true. It's not worth the stress and overwhelm. Learn not only to accept help, but ask for it too. Disagreements and custody disputes. Co-parenting can be difficult. You and the other parent may face continued conflict, arguments about decisions, and custody disputes. Disagreements are unavoidable. Still, they can turn into angry confrontations, especially if dealing with a high conflict individual. For the sake of your kids' well-being, it's possible to have a civil relationship with your ex if both of you are willing. The first step to having a healthy working relationship with your child's other parent is to separate your personal relationship with them from the co-parenting relationship. My ex and I were fortunate enough not to have custody disputes, so my heart goes out to those of you who do. He agreed that it was important for the kids to spend most of their time at their own house and for me to take care of them, which was more work for me, but I also agreed. And I understood that he now was going to be spending less time with them, and I knew how hard that would be for him. And I also wanted the kids to spend as much time with their dad as they could, so they could see him whenever they wanted. We didn't have a set schedule. We also sat together at kids' games, recitals, concerts, programs, because I didn't want them to have to choose which parent to sit by. And it felt awkward sometimes until finally it didn't. I think the kids were grateful for the sacrifice we made for them. I know it's more of an unusual situation than a normal one. And no matter how much we want the peace and kindness, we can't control someone else. Remember that your children are the priority, not your feelings about each other. You can think of your relationship with the other parent as a brand new relationship based on the kids only. Raising them, teaching them, guiding them to be the kind of adults you both want them to be. Agree on a parenting plan that lays out how you'll handle scheduling, finances, and other significant decisions. With explicitly clear boundaries, you're less likely to run into conflict. Little to no personal time. Being a single parent often means putting your children's wants and needs above your own. While good parenting does involve making sacrifices, it doesn't mean neglecting yourself or doing everything on your own. It might feel impossible to make time for yourself with so many others to take care of, but it's a necessity if you want to stay sane. Turn to your family and friends first. If you can, drop the kids off with someone you trust for a few hours on a weekday morning or swap childcare with another parent. I've heard of young moms taking turns on weekdays to watch each other's kids. That way, you have a day to look forward to that you know that you can do something you like or just spend time alone. We all know that you could do it if you had to, for a while anyway, but you don't have to. That's the beauty of it. If you don't have the kind of natural support system, see if a local church or community center has a parents' night out, or maybe they would know of a babysitter you could get to know, and that'll give you a break now and then. Part of what takes up so much time as a single parent is managing all the household duties. Chore charts are great if you can stick to them. Even if a child can take one of your tasks off, it'll help. And as kids get older, it may be necessary to set boundaries on time. Your time is important. Loneliness and isolation. Feelings of loneliness are common as a single parent. Often, it's less about being physically alone and more about having to make decisions by yourself. Having to make judgment calls alone can be mentally straining, and sometimes you may feel alone in everything. You may feel like it's not fair when your taillight literally drops off on Main Street and someone behind you runs over it. You may feel that it's too much as you're YouTubing how to install a new taillight on your minivan because you can't afford to have someone else do it. Okay, yeah, this happened to me. I could have asked one of my boys, a neighbor, or even my ex to help me, and they would have. But part of me was trying to prove how independent I was. But who was I trying to prove this to? No one was disputing the fact that I could do things on my own. I could do it all if I needed to, thanks to YouTube. The smart realization is, you don't have to. So the feelings of unfairness I was experiencing were totally due to my thoughts about the situation. Instead, I could have thought about all the wonderful people I'm surrounded by. I could have taken an opportunity to have my boys learn a new skill. I could have been grateful for the internet and all the endless videos for literally anything I need to learn. And I did realize this down the road, but right then I was feeling hard done by and basically defying my circumstances. So, just because you don't have a significant other doesn't mean that you don't have people to reach out to and ask for help, advice, or validation. Save yourself a lot of heartache, pity, and greasy hands by ignoring the voice in your head that says people are too busy or they don't want to hear from you. No one expects you to know all the answers, especially on your own. So this next one is really great advice for single parents because we don't usually have an endless flow of money coming in. And this is free. If you don't feel like you have anyone to turn to, start building up your network. Join the PTA or child's school. Strike up a conversation with a parent that you always see at the playground or check out a single parent support group. Finding a sense of belonging as a single parent can be especially difficult. It's common to feel stuck in the middle of married parents and single adults without children. I remember talking to my married friends, and bless their hearts, they wanted to help so bad, and they did help in their own way. They also wanted to understand and support me, but the look on their faces when I would talk to them about my life was like, it's like a deer in the headlights. I have no idea what your life is like, which is a good thing. So even though they wanted to help and do everything they could, it really helped me to meet and talk to other single parents. We could talk, give each other support and understanding and much needed advice from those who had been through it before. Connecting with others who just get it can help. Okay, so we've talked about what it is and some things we can do to combat overwhelm. But remember at the first of the episode when I said that the only thing we can control in this situation is our thought about it? That's right. Did you know you actually choose to feel overwhelmed? You know, like the taillight incident? So let's talk about it. With the help of the Life Coach School podcast and Brooke Castillo, we can explain a bit about overwhelm and our thoughts. There are things that happen, and then there are thoughts about it. Sometimes the thought is, poor me. And I'm not saying that you can never have a pity party for yourself, but just set a time limit for it so we don't go overboard. We do have a choice of different thoughts, though. So it's called thought work, which means it doesn't come easily, but there are different thoughts available to us. We could choose instead to think things like, my kids are here, we love each other, everything may not be perfect, but it is good, and think of something that is going good right then. Brooke says, overwhelm pretends to have a purpose, but it has no purpose, no usefulness at all. It also pretends to be caused by the amount of things in our lives. Overwhelm is never caused by this. So all the things that go along with being a single parent doesn't cause you overwhelm. What causes it? Your thoughts about it. There are two separate things here. Things that go on and my thoughts about it. Things that go on is a circumstance. It's just a fact. It's just what's going on. So why do we complain about overwhelm? We are at a place in our evolution where we're generally faced with more options and more decisions than we've ever had before in our lives. In our evolution, our brain was programmed to survive or not to survive. A very simple existence. And I think it's a beautiful gift God has given us, not only given us our brain, but the ability to manage it. The ability to make higher choices. The brain likes routine. It likes plans. It likes things to go as they've always gone before because that means we'll stay alive. We have so many options now. Even just in a couple of hundred years ago, your brain didn't have to spend time deciding which show to watch, which food to eat, or any of the thousands of decisions we make each day. The amount of choices we have only will increase, which is a good thing. Just think about all the advances that we've seen in the past 100 years. Advances in technology, medicine, entertainment, science, education, etc. Creating more things creates more problems, but it also creates more solutions, and that's how we grow. Overwhelm is a knee-jerk reaction our brain goes to with all that's going on around you. You may choose to see it all, jump back in bed, and try to hide from it, hoping that it'll just take care of itself. Have you ever had so much to do that you don't even know where to start? That's confusion. So you just don't do any of it, which is overwhelm. Just run and hide. Get back in bed. Our brain just hasn't caught up with our current environment. It's the way we think about it. But we can manage all of the options. We only use a small percentage of what our brains can do, and our brains are designed to think things we've never thought before. It's possible to figure out a situation. So when you're in overwhelm, you're missing out on all these opportunities, solutions, missing out on freedom, money, relationships. Let's look at it as it applies to a single parent. So you have so many decisions to make in a day, some big, some small, but the amount of decisions in a day is overwhelming enough. Then throw in big decisions like, should I sell the house? Should we rent? Do I want to start dating again? Should I allow my kids to go on vacation with their dad and his new girlfriend, or vice versa? We get stuck in it, in wanting to make sure we make the right choice. But what if we can never know? Sometimes we can know. I totally believe in prayer and inspiration, so sometimes we can know if we believe God can speak to us. But what if it's just the thoughts around the choice that make it the wrong or right choice? What if we can just decide that it's the right choice and focus on our whys? Why did we choose this? What if you, just making the decision, is the right choice? The world isn't going to end after you make that decision, that we know of anyway. You most likely will have the opportunity to make a different choice down the road if you aren't getting the results that you've hoped for. But what if you had just sat in overwhelm and confusion, so worried that you're not going to make the right decision that you don't make a decision at all? Or you're so unsure about the choice you did make and you're stuck in confusion and so focused on the reasons why you shouldn't have made that decision, it doesn't do you any good anyway. But what if you just went ahead and made the decision you feel best about or just makes the most sense to you? Focus on the whys you made that decision and move forward. And then if something happens down the road that doesn't bring you the results that you were hoping for, now there's another decision to make. You could sit there and beat yourself up about it, say how stupid you are and that you should never be allowed to make another decision again in your whole life. Or you could look at it as a learning opportunity. What did you learn from making that decision? Make another decision. Go a different route. And guess what the miracle of this is? You'll be more confident in the next route because of the previous choice. You have no idea, really, what the outcome will be. You only have hope that it will turn out the way you want. But either way, you'll get that in the end. Get good at making decisions and being confident about them. And remember, overwhelm is not useful. Keep that in mind when you're taking care of yourself. Happy dating. I wanted to think of a different saying to end my podcast on, but even being a relationship coach, I can still say happy dating because we all need to take time to date. Whether it's ourselves, we all need that alone time, or date our family, friends, or significant other. And married people especially need to take time to date each other. So I'll keep that ending and hope that you will always make time for you and notice those around you who love you and are more than willing to help you out when you need it. Happy dating! Hey, if you can relate to any of my experiences, or if you think you may be stuck in the past or feel like you're just spinning an indecision and can't move forward, I can help. I learned to recognize behaviors in myself that kept me from progressing in the direction I wanted to go. And through coaching, I was able to work through it and my future opened up to me. I would love to help you figure it out way faster than I did. I love coaching because this stuff really works. It worked and is still working for me. And I love helping others see that life doesn't just happen to them. They can take the wheel and pilot their own experience the way it was intended. If you want coaching, whether through dating or any relationship you have or want to have, I'm your girl. You can sign up for coaching on my website at datingbydeb.com. And to start out, sign up for a 1-hour free consultation. It's not scary or awkward. We'll just chat about what's going on for you right now, where you ultimately want to be, and how I can help you get there. Or you can message me on Facebook at ByDeb or Instagram at datingbydeb. Or I am so happy to receive emails at datingbydeb@gmail.com. So please share any experiences, insight, or awkward dating moments with me. I read all my messages and love to share others' experiences too. This is my passion and I want to help you make the most of your single experience.
Debbie Does Dating with your host, Deb McEwen. Sponsored by Dating by Deb.